Welcome to the Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this January the 4th on the West Coast, now January 5th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We'd also like to welcome those listening in around the world on Wind Talkers Radio Network. So nice to have you with us. Well, much of the nation's attention was focused on a very important athletic event this evening. And in honor of the victors, I will play their fight song. That's a tribute, if you haven't recognized that song, to the Ohio State Buckeyes, who defeated the Arkansas Razorbacks 31-26 in the Sugar Bowl this evening. Buckeyes were ranked number 6 in the nation, and the Arkansas Razorbacks were number 8. And it was a valiant game on both sides' part. That brings home something about America. We often call America home of the brave.
Hold your head up high now. There's no need to cry now. We're not running anymore. hear it anymore.
Yes, America is the home of the brave. That was Toto reminding us that, and felt that that was the appropriate song to open tonight's show with. Tonight's guest comes from Canada, and he's very outspoken about the problems here in America and around the world. He is a forensic and clinical psychologist, and he is quite qualified to speak about those things. He's also a very prolific author. He hosts his own website and named after his radio show here on BBS Radio every other Saturday. The show is called Zero Point, and the author of the website Zero Point is none other than my good friend Christopher Holmes, PhD. Christopher, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you, Don, and Happy New Year to you. I look forward to a whole new year of your shows and investigative studies, and I have a lot of anticipation for this year. I kind of think that hopefully this year things will begin to turn more.
Yes. Happy New Year to you, too, Christopher. Thank you very much. And again, Happy New Year to all the listening audience that hasn't been tuned in during the past week. You know, I've been doing some recent research, and I actually brought the story out on Drew Raine's A Marine's Disquisition yesterday for a two-hour period. 2 hours that flew by, I must say. It's not necessarily the subject we need to discuss, but it's becoming more and more evident around the world that it's just nothing but a criminal cabal that's running the world, and they're doing it loose at the hip, if you want to use that term. Any comment?
Well, I was interested in hearing you had mentioned you had dug up some things around the Bush family, and I would be interested to hear what your research have led to, and be pleased to hear that material. Yet you didn't share it last evening, even though you touched on it.
Yes.
I mean, in terms of, as you say, I mean, it's astonishing when one wakes up, you realize that, wow, there is this international criminal cabal who has done all these horrendous things and through decades, and they've had this whole new, I call it the old world psychiatric disorder. They like to call it the new world order. I call it the old world because it's so old. They've been around murdering for people for centuries. And it's a psychiatric disorder because these people are seriously psychiatrically disturbed. They really are. They're psychopathic. They have no conscience in them. They're unspeakably greedy and perverted in some of their practices and such. And somehow we've, on this earth, it's astonishing what's happened is that such a group of people have ascended to power and done the horrendous crimes against humanity, which they perpetrate daily on all scale, on all levels and in all sectors of our society, you know, financial and military and medical and food and everything. It's an astonishing plot. It reminds me, like, the real life story is even wilder than The Lord of the Rings. I really think so. Like, there's no one's ever written a novel. I think I have to think of the world situation as God's story. That's kind of like how I think of it. You know, it's so beyond anything anyone's ever done in a movie or a book or anything.
Yes, I agree. I agree.
It's astonishing. I mean, you wake up and, like, my God, what's become of us and how we've been deceived through decades and decades. It's so tragic on so many levels, and I yearn for the restoration of justice on planet Earth. I just pray that justice will, these people's karma will be brought down upon them, and they'll be revealed to the world for all the things they've done to us through the last decades.
Yes, yes. In regard to this new research that I have done, a document was brought to my attention, which is the transcript or the summary of the Dachau trials. which were held in Dachau, Germany, from August 18th to September 9th of 1947. And it was a general military government court, a trial, featuring none other than Otto Skorzeny, Philipp von Baer, Walter Scherf, Hans Hess, Wilhelm Muse, Dennis Münz, Günther Fietz, Ralph Bellstedt, Wilhelm Kochschreit, and Arend de Bruin, and many other people, German nationals, and persons acting with German nationals at sundry times between about October 1st, 1944 and January 15th, 1945 in the vicinity of the Kingdom of Belgium and the then German Reich, acting in pursuit of a common design to commit the acts hereinafter alleged to wrongfully encourage, aid, abet, and participate in the improper use of the military insignia, badges, emblems, markings, and uniform of the armed forces of the United States of America by entering into combat disguised therewith and treacherously firing upon and killing members of the armed forces of the United States of America. What we have here, Christopher, is a reverse of the movie The Dirty Dozen, where Americans dress up like Germans and they enter a castle, and where the German officers and many of their munitions are being stored, and they take over this castle. In this particular case, these people who were criminals were let loose, whereas in The Dirty Dozen, they took some prisoners in military prison, murderers, rapists, thieves, you name it, even insubordinate soldiers. And if they survived at the end of the mission, then they were going to be given freedom. Well, in this case, this group that murdered well over 100 people in the U.S. Armed Forces, being disguised as Americans, having been trained, and this is training in speaking like an American, watching American mannerisms, basically much like a spy would be trained to infiltrate a country. They infiltrated the army and pulled off this stunt. Now, Skorzeny, we know, died in Florida, in Boynton Beach, Florida, in 1999, on December 31st. He didn't die in 1975 in Spain from cancer, as the story goes. He was brought into the CIA. He was one of the primary paperclip operatives for the CIA. And I mentioned the name Walter Scherf, or in English, we would say Walter Scherf. That name should ring a bell if you recall my research on the Bush family. There's an article I wrote called Deathbed Confessions, Photos Support Claims That George H.W. Scherf Jr. Was the 41st U.S. President. And in that article, I identify Bush as a Scherf. When he came to the United States, he chose the name George H.W. Bush. What is interesting is in the trial, they describe Scherf as Hauptmann Walter Scherf, Hauptmann meaning leader, or more specifically, captain. Captain Walter Scherf, H.W. Scherf. And I would submit on the basis of what I've looked at, because the photographs of Walter Scherf match George H.W. Bush. Spitting image of him. Then I went and I looked at the photographs from Yale baseball team. There's a particular photograph depicting, of course, they don't give a date when this photograph was taken because the event did not occur. So they couldn't give a date. But it's a compilation. In other words, they took an image of Babe Ruth and put him in front of a background of a baseball stadium. And he's handed an album, which is being presented allegedly to Yale University, of his papers and probably some photographs. And Bush is holding that with one hand, extending his other hand as if to shake Babe Ruth's hand. Babe Ruth is smoking a cigar, dressed in a two-tone suit. The obvious obfuscation of the photograph reveals that it's a manipulated image, and to hide its fraudulent nature, they darken it. What is interesting is that Babe Ruth's shadow is at 22.5 degrees in the sun. George Bush is not casting a shadow. Three gentlemen standing behind George Bush are all looking in strange directions, but not at the event. They're dressed in suits that pixelate as soon as you begin to magnify the photograph. The whole background is blurred. The background in the original photo, and I say original because they made a crop for the presidential library with just Babe Ruth and George Bush. When you look at the facade of the stadium roof in left field, it's very dark. Underneath, it's very obscured. You can barely see anything underneath it, and adding exposure intensity to the photograph doesn't brighten it up very much. It still remains in the dark. The fence in the outfield is a lighter color than it is in the cropped photo. The cropped photo it's much darker, and the facade of the roof in the cropped photo is much lighter. And you can even see things under the roof that you can't see in the original photograph. It's amazing. So they made two compiled photographs to represent that this event occurred. There are at least 100 anomalies in these photographs. Things that you can point out. Multicolored grass, even though it's black and white. In sections, the grass changes hue or changes its depth of gray. Okay. And the foreground grass looks like it's some material from another planet. Doesn't even look like regular grass. People's feet are sinking into a carpet that they have on the field, partially rolled up to make it look like they just threw this out there and got everybody out there and did this event. Everybody's caught in a candid shot that's utterly ridiculous. They're all wearing suits, yet their coats don't match their pants, even though there's an attempt to match them. They don't match by color or by design. The first base, which is supposed to be in the vicinity of where these people are standing in this photograph, is literally about 20 feet from the outfield fence, sitting in the middle of the grass. I mean, it is just an absolutely ridiculous photograph. There's a light tower.
Sorry, Don, and this was in the record, in the yearbook, sorry? Where was this photo of Bush with Babe Ruth?
I doubt it's in the yearbook. It's just a published photo. In fact, you don't see him in a photo with a team. Even though they have a team photo, there's a guy that sort of looks like it might be him. But in every photograph, in fact, the photograph of him allegedly trying to shake hands with Babe Ruth doesn't look like him either. Okay? It's similar to him, but it's not him. It's not a person doesn't change. Their nose doesn't turn up in one photo and go down in the next, you know, or their chin doing the same thing, or the ears.
So you're seeing this then, like they just confabulate these pictures to kind of create a mythology and history to these characters. Are you saying, how about like George Bush as a sheriff? But how about Prescott Bush? Like how that
he's a sheriff also. He's a sheriff. Sorry? In fact, the family, this is what's interesting, is they operated a company which manufactured pewter and ceramic knickknacks. They called them works of art, nouveau art, copying Tiffany lamps and some original looking lamps, blown glass globes that have a very ornate kind of metalwork holding the globe up, and, you know, like you would see in a Tiffany lamp. I found it very interesting that their company, which was founded by Friedrich August Scherff, was called Osiris. It's called Osiris, and it was run by Walter Scherff, his son. Scherff allegedly committed suicide in 1909 because the business was going bad. It was bankrupt. And they made some 1,300 of these items or styles of these items, sold around the world, and sold them for a lot of money. So I don't see how they could have gone bankrupt. It's an easy way to get rid of somebody when they want to disappear them and have them pop up somewhere else under another identity. And that's their MO, believe me. Bush.
So you would have suggested that was Prescott Bush?
No, actually, Prescott. No, it wouldn't have. Actually, the son August would have been Prescott. Okay, Walter Scherff was the other son. That's the one I'm saying is George H. W. Bush. Where he came into history was in this story that I read from case number 6100 of the Dachau trials. This was the United States versus Otto Skorzeny et al. And that came from the Deputy Judge Advocate's Office at 7708 War Crimes Group, European Command, APO 407, April 14th, 1948. Now, this is the time that Bush was allegedly studying for an economics degree, bachelor's degree, Bachelor of Arts in Economics at Yale during the time of the trial. He's allegedly at school. And the picture is the clincher, you see, because Hauptmann Walter Scherff matches George H.W. Bush. Matches. The difference is that he used some kind of a pomade on his hair or oil and slicked his hair, parted in the same place, same receding hairline, same color, same facial features, ears, nose, mouth, chin, everything, even the eyes. It's him. Now, he faked his birth certificate. He was not born in Milford, Massachusetts. In fact, I debunked the whole Bush genealogy and the George Herbert Walker genealogy out of St. Louis. What is interesting in my prior research in this article that I referred to about the Bushes, George Herbert Walker was in charge of the 1904 World's Fair at St. Louis. And wouldn't you know, the Osiris Company from Germany won two prizes for their special entries in a competition of these works that I described.
Wow.
Okay.
Interesting coincidence.
Yeah. By the way, they changed the name of the company from Osiris to Isis, or some would pronounce
oh,
it.
Really?
Isis.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. They were making pyramids and all kinds of strange artifacts that looked like Egyptian artifacts. There was this obsession with Egyptology and Egyptian artifacts. Very strange looking things too. You could say many of them were reptilian in character. Now, I did quite a bit of analysis of photos. In fact, even the skull and bones photos appear to be compiled.
Wow.
So, you know, as we have the case with the usurper who is in Washington, D.C. right now. He didn't go to the schools they allege he went to. He wasn't born in Hawaii, and he wasn't born in Kenya. We know that, too. They lie about all of this. Now, Bush is known in inner circles with the nickname the Old Kraut. That's what they call him. Why would they call him that if he wasn't a German? Now, here's another coincidence. The trial was in Dachau. There was also a Nuremberg trial, but he wasn't in that trial. Skorzeny was, and again, he was exonerated because they wanted to use him for the International Intelligence Agency. He had helped Adolf Hitler escape. He had helped get hundreds of millions of dollars to Argentina into the hands of Juan Perón under the care of Eva Perón. And this money was paid out later on to Skorzeny and stolen by Bush. This is why Skorzeny actually came out and had a lot to say about Bush. I've got him in a photograph at the beginning of the article. The two of them together with Reinhard Galen and Martin Bormann. And we were able to make comparisons with these photos and the Bush photos that we have and the Scherf photos that we have, and they match. They match. So the name is certainly a connection, and the Hauptmann Walter, I submit, is where he actually is sort of keeping his namesake, H.W. Had nothing to do with George Herbert Walker. That was just part of the story. Okay. Any comments?
Well, I'm not as studied as you are in these things. I mean, it's fascinating. It's like they just concoct these people and bring them over and place them and create their history and just confabulate these stories and the photographic evidences, and it's shocking. I mean, it's just all this unknown history, and it's another chapter to it. Shows how pervasive it is and how it's been done for decades.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the significance of all these Nazis and war criminals that were brought over into the U.S. after the war. I mean, what a shocking story that is, to think that all these people were brought in over into the CIA and NASA and, upper levels of the government and we were infiltrated, both Canada as well, I think, by Nazis after the war, and these doctors that we brought over to carry on their experimentation. And it's terrible that, there's just a whole history of World War II that all of us have been lied to about that as well as everything else.
Mm-hmm. See, Bush was trained here. Now, here's what's interesting. Friedrich August Scherf, the founder of this Osiris company, actually is on a list of 709 secret emigres from Germany. These are secret emigres. I found this list. 709 people. The Scherfs, the whole family, is on this list. So the person who allegedly died actually snuck into America.
Yeah.
Okay. So these stories about these companies are not totally true, because they have to account for the fact that they're going to disappear these people. So this big successful company that changes names even, and of course Osiris and Isis are the parents of Horus. You want to talk about mythology that they use. You have to ask yourself, why would a German company name themselves after something out of Egypt? Well, is it the inspiration of the work? Because they had all kinds of famous artists, well-known artists doing their work, designing the work for them. and they did Metalworks, which is a perfect cover for making ammunition, for making bullets and bombs, or, you know, the casings. Perfect for that. I track these individuals, too, in such a way that this sheriff family, that actually two of them went to Washington, D.C. Okay? And these are records that are out there. I didn't create these records. But I can tell you that this guy did not go to Yale University. The company is featured in a book about artifacts. The book is called A Thousand Lights.
Wow.
That was an interesting name. You remember George Bush talked about a thousand points of light?
Yeah.
And George Dukakis said something to the effect of, I don't understand what a thousand points of light means in their debate. And Bush kept repeating that, thousand points of light, thousand points of light. And I found it very interesting that this book spans a period of German artwork or European artwork that's sold, lamps and knickknacks, from 1878 through 1959. They had the connections to do business with the banks, the big companies, all over Europe, in fact, and it gave them certainly an excuse for transporting all kinds of things. This wouldn't be the first time that the sheriffs were found somewhere where they could be tracked. Now, they ran their factory out of Nuremberg, which is interesting because Nuremberg is where Skorzeny's other trial was, and some major German leaders were allegedly hung, although some of my research indicates that they were not hung, that they either didn't hang anyone at all, faked the photographs, or they hung a body double. They shot a body double and left him for Hitler. Skorzeny talked about how he and Hanna Reich, his Hitler's pilot, flew him to Austria. And at one point...
They were escaping Germany?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Well, no. They escaped. They escaped. But this... They took Hitler. Hitler made his way through Spain, probably took a sub to Argentina, lived there for a while up in the mountains, and then they brought him to the States. And he lived in the States and was working with Joseph Mengele for many years. Skorzeny took a picture of him at Lake McDonald Lodge in 1997, August 18th of 1997. Hitler's standing there, and some people are standing up on a what looks like it might be a stage if they had a band there, a raised platform, we'll call it. You can see the side of Hitler's face. It's not a full shot, but it's him. The ears match, and... I tracked him down to Maryland. He ended up dying in Maryland in 2004.
Wow.
These guys use all kinds of age regression technology. They admit it themselves. And it's widely known in those circles that all of these old Nazis have been receiving that to keep their Reich going, their Third Reich, and their quest for the Fourth Reich here in America. Let's put it this way. If I ask a rhetorical question, Christopher, if an event is real and it really happened and you're going to take a photograph of it, why would you have to fake the photograph?
Yes, I absolutely agree. That was, you know, in the recent article I did on the fabled airplanes of 9/11 and these airplanes going into the South Tower, and, you know, my belief is there was no airplane, and these images were concocted in the the media studios. And one of the evidence is like, well, if it was a real airplane, why would they have to concoct all these different videos of it, which are inconsistent with each other? And you know, there would be, if there was a real airplane, you wouldn't have all these anomalies among all these amateur videos. It couldn't happen. And it's the same thing. You know, if it's a real event, it doesn't happen. But, you know, these things are composites, and they've been doing this stuff for decades.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's the same thing, yeah.
Yeah, I even went back to Bush's alleged preparatory school for Yale, the Andover, Phillips Andover Academy is what it's called in Andover, Massachusetts.
Okay.
And they have a Phillips Exeter Academy in Vermont. And I was comparing what the different schools were saying about the various people there. And I looked up the bibliography, or I mean the biography of Bush. And they're saying he was at this school. And he's on the baseball team there, and they have a picture of him. Well, it looks like him. You know, they can take any face and put it on a uniform.
Yeah.
And they have him leaning out with a glove. There's no ball in the glove, but he's leaning out, and the glove is closed. And you know how a first baseman will stretch to catch the ball. Well, it's a pose like that. And most of his body is blurred in the photograph. And all of the background is blurred. And it's a baseball field with a building pretty close to it. And I went on Google Earth and looked at all the ballparks anywhere near that school. None of the parks have a cyclone fence, which is in the photograph, even though it's blurred in one spot. And it's almost whitewashed out of the photograph. That's how obfuscated it is.
Yeah.
And they have a picture of a building pretty close to it. There were no buildings anywhere near the ballparks. And there's four or five different ballparks surrounding this school. And none of them have a fence. None of them have what we call a cyclone fence or a chain link fence. None of them have trees along the first base line. It's another fabrication. It's obvious. And to boot, The person that took this picture of him at first base has to be standing between the pitcher's mound and first base. That's how close it is. Now, if you used we're talking about prior to 1945, they weren't using zoom lenses on cameras back then, you know, to take pictures of high school athletes.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't use those kind of cameras. And you don't see him playing in a game. You don't see him batting. You don't see him at first base. They take these pictures. Even his card that they make, like a professional card, is all fabricated with all kinds of modern day graphics, and it's got a backdrop of an old what looks like willow trees or something in the background. I mean, it's not real. Now, you couldn't write this in a script for a movie and have anyone think that you were serious about this, even for a movie, you know.
Yeah.
But then I guess
once you start seeing the MO of what they do, one sees it more and more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could have done this 3 years, or almost 4 years ago now. And the article came out in January of 2007. Almost 4 years. It was the Scherf article came out in April. I take that back. I wrote a Wantagate article in January. April came out. I think I brought it out on Hitler's birthday, actually, to commemorate that. So I've been looking at these photos for quite some time, but I hadn't gone back and looked at those. I even looked at the single shots, just him alone. You know, who would want to fake a photo of a person? But they're faking the story that he played baseball, that he went to Yale, that he went to Phillips Andover Academy, which is this very, very expensive school. Okay, his family could afford it if they were who they said they were, because they were doing business with the Rockefellers. I found it interesting that the sheriff that I tracked from the Osiris Company to Washington ended up being on the War Industries Board and ran Remington Arms, ran Buckeye Steel Castings for the Rockefellers in Columbus, Ohio. And he went by the name of Samuel P. Bush. That's supposed to be Prescott Bush's father. This would be the great-grandfather of George W. Bush. Okay, but these were sheriffs. They were all sheriffs. And the age, the age is about, it works out about right. Would have been born in 1860. They're claiming that the other one was born in 1863, Samuel P. Bush. So it was very close.
Yeah.
But the German records are much more accurate than the American records. American records are all lies. I debunked the census records. Even George Herbert Walker was confused about where his parents were from. Census that he's registered, he says both parents were born in St. Louis. Second census, he said his father was born in St. Louis and his mother was born in Maryland. Third census, he said both parents were born in Maryland. Yeah. Fourth census, both parents were born in Missouri. So which story do you buy? They brag about him having been to Stonyhurst. Okay, so he studied with the Jesuits. George Herbert Walker. They were big on golf. See, the Walker Cup is named after him.
Oh, is it? I didn't know that. Wow.
Well, it has to be.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It would either be him or Johnny Walker.
I'm sure he does a lot of Johnny Walker, too.
See, Christopher, the dots are connecting and they're sticking together. You know, they're not coming apart at the seams.
Yeah. Well, it's, I don't know. It's like, where does it lead? It's like there's no kind of, it's like these schemes. Everything is like an illusion. Everything we thought we knew about these people, and it's just, but it's like there's no police there. There's a complete breakdown of any law and order. You know, it's these frauds are perpetrated against us all the time. It's just so standard. It's a bit overwhelming. It's just another layer of the onion.
Yes, and you know, you've commented on this group in your work. And on your show, on my show before, you've really gone down the rabbit hole, so to speak, and talked about the makeup of their character. They have no scruples. They have no morals. They can do no wrong.
Yes, it's interesting. I think they really traumatized themselves as young children. And kind of don't develop emotionally at all, but suffer kind of traumas and sent off to expensive schools where I think they're sexualized really young and they're degraded and, you know, they're kind of prepared as mind control slaves early on through their education. I mean, it's probably very pathetic what these people go through themselves that turns them such as they are. You know, Gurdjieff describes the main feature of these people is a lack of objective conscience and it's like one just sees that these people have absolutely no feeling for the effects of their actions on other people and their selfishness in their lives and their indulgence, like sexually and addictions, and it's an amazing phenomena. It's these people have such they maintain such a seemingly normal public appearance as kind of honorable types of men, you know, and then behind the scene it's like, you know, they're Satan's little servants and perverts and pedophiles and these atrocious histories. And
Well, you know, you're describing the media, their cohorts in the mainstream media and in Hollywood,
yeah,
the directors and the producers. And it doesn't matter. Isn't it interesting that both Hollywood and the news have directors and producers? You know, they have people that run the show, so they're running it according to an agenda. They're the doorway or the filter of the information. Either the information gets out, or it's quashed, and 9 times out of 10 it's quashed, and what we get is more illusion. You see, there's no difference between a TV news director and a Hollywood film, a theatrical film director. He's looking for maximum impact, and it's all illusion. There's nothing real about it. It's they're telling stories, both sides. One is telling a story that's alleged to be fiction, and the other is telling a story that's alleged to be the truth. And neither are true.
Yeah, exactly. I believe the media actively help stage events, and they're scripted for it. Of course, not for all events, because some are events that happen more naturally, but that's their role. They're the great deceiver, and Hollywood and all our media, they're owned by the same groups of Zionist international bankers and criminal elites. In my Fabled Airplanes article, I quote Tex Mars. He says the Jews own Hollywood, and they also own all the top networks. All have Zionist Jew executives, and they own all the local newspapers and the radio shows, and it's such a pervasive influence. And I mean, the media helps them maintain this huge public deception about, you know, who they are as individuals and what they're doing, and it's so widespread. I guess, you know, they brought the Nazi mind scientists over into the States after the war, and I think they went help Bernays and the advertisers and created that whole war propaganda, and that's what the media has become. They've used all those Nazi techniques and brought them to America and propagated it not only through the media but also through Hollywood, which they've used to deceive us about all, you know, these historic events. They've kind of rewritten history through Hollywood.
Yes, It's not that that this is something that's passé and its time is over. These people are still pulling the strings from behind the scenes. They're part of these multinational corporations that are robbing people blind. They're certainly part of the government agencies and the secret societies and the think tanks and institutions and foundations that are bribed or extorted to produce certain results for whatever they wish to create for themselves, which is basically stealing from the rest of us.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the job the corporate media did in convincing Americans that they should, give trillions of dollars of tax money to these banksters who committed all kinds of huge bank frauds and really should be imprisoned for what they've done. And then the media is able to convince the public that their representatives think that we should, you know, bail out the banks because we can't, they're too big to fail. And they convince the, you know, they sell it like they sell pharmaceutical drugs or they sell Pepsi, you know, and they sell this bailout and make it all sound so reasonable and bring in all their experts from the little Rockefeller think tanks, like all these people they line up and cultivate as propagandists. It's terrible. It's a massive public deception. I mean, the media doesn't, you know, they don't expose the truth of anything. I mean, the media's job is to hide from the public the crimes of the elites. And they do that, you know, through history, they've done that. They still, you know, they still try to deny Kennedy, you know, the Kennedy assassination was a conspiracy. They still have to play down things like that. You know, they don't tell us the truth about anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well,
and then to see how much they actually concoct evidences like what you're showing, even like historic evidences that this has been going on for decades, this type of public deception.
Yeah, you know, they claimed in the Harvard Classical Library, they claimed that their library's founder was James Loeb, born in New York City. Now, I've got Loeb coming into Ellis Island saying he'd never been to America, even though he had. He was lying, and he said he was born in Landsberg, Germany. It's just outside of Munich, by the way. Dachau is near Munich as well, you see. Nuremberg is to the north of Munich, and you go northeast, and that takes you to Leipzig, south of Leipzig, Durlich. Is where the sheriffs were living. And it matches. There's a path that you can follow between the two places. Ties into Bormann and Mengele.
So it was, yeah, nice crew we got. It's horrifying the more you learn about what's happened in American history, you know, how these people were brought over after the war and at other times and before that, and the whole public deception has been perpetrated for so many years now. What do we do with it? It's like there's no chance anywhere of justice anymore. It's like, you know, no one cares or something. It's a lawless nation, you know. The U.S., I would say, is a lawless nation.
Well, Bush predicted himself that if the American people ever learned what they've done to our country, that they'd be hung from the nearest lamppost.
Yeah, and that's absolutely true. I agree. And not only the Bushes, but the Clintons and so many senators and people in the House and the Kissingers and the Rockefellers, and there'd be so many people running down so many streets for what these people have done to the American people intentionally over the past 50 years. Everything, you know, from poisoning them with fluoride to spraying them from the air with chemicals to putting poisons in their food to dummying down their education to deceiving them about all significant areas of modern science. They've had their quack sciences, you know, in medicine and anthropology, and it's they've absolutely degraded every aspect of our society. It's very tragic what's happened, and people have, you know, only now is there a more massive awakening to what's been done.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's hard to know how to deal with that.
Yeah, well, we're learning. We're fulfilling Bush's prophecy.
I would so love to see these people brought to justice and have them exposed publicly and answer publicly to the charges against them. It's nice to believe, like as I do, that their karma will eventually, you know, come back upon them and that people are judged through death and into their afterlife states, because these people have hell to pay for the things they've done, and I'm sure that they pass into hell worlds and can enjoy each other's fine company there.
Yes.
Well, for a long time.
I want to give us a chance to absorb this information, even myself. I mean, you know, to hear myself run, and trust me, I have over 100 documents to back all this stuff up.
Wow.
Basically, in 2 hours, I found all of this stuff. And I was sort of kicking myself in the pants because I hadn't done this research 4 years ago. But I was doing a lot of other research, so you can't be doing it all at the same time. But I learned some skills that I could apply in this case, and it makes the research very fast and very accurate. And I was amazed. Once I had this one name, it just opened up a floodgate of information. And I had actually come upon the name 4 years ago when I was doing the original research. 4.5 years ago, I had seen the name. This document was sent to me, and I started reading it. And I found the whole thing. Only had the first page. There's actually 11 pages, and it just mirrors everything. You see, if you're not at Yale University, if you're on trial at Dachau for war crimes, then you have to fake your pictures. You have to fake the photographs. He was not with Babe Ruth. Babe Ruth wasn't in. This is a surreal image, and a group of surreal images that do the strangest things. Even the microphone cable that they use allegedly looks like a lampstand for a bass on the microphone. A modern knurled microphone knob that was created, it looks like, recently, within the past 20 years. And the cable actually becomes squared when you magnify it in certain places, not the whole thing, because these are manufactured images.
Yeah.
And they weren't consistent from one figure to the next. So when you magnify the picture, all of a sudden one of the figures starts pixelating all over the place. And you can see that it doesn't belong in the picture. Photographs don't normally do that.
And they'd have all the same resolution throughout on the whole photograph, not be pixelated differently in different areas.
Yeah. But I want to play a song. This song goes back many, many years, but it describes the situation we're in. This is The Temptations and Ball of Confusion.
Skin. Run, 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 but you sure can't hide. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, both for me, and I'll set you free. Rap on, brother, rap on. Well, the only person talking about love now, brother, is the preacher. And it seems nobody's interested in learning but the teacher. No.
In psychiatric and psychological circles, Christopher, do they call the world a ball of confusion?
No, because it's psychology as a discipline, I see, also has having been dummied down by these people. And it's just another community, like professional community, like the psychiatric associations and the medical associations, which have been, infiltrated by these types and have been historically. It's interesting, in the psychiatric, the DSM, Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, they would never include in it the term psychopath. There was always a denial and prevention of that being brought into the DSM as a term for psychiatric diagnosis. Mm-hmm. And I see now why they did that, because it might have helped people identify these people earlier.
Oh, yeah, and they would have had to have invented a drug to cure them, right? And they didn't want to charge themselves. Oh, it's quite obvious. When you see the photos and all this research tied together, you will instantly say, wow.
Yeah.
There's the truth.
When are you hoping to put it up on your site, Don?
Well, I'm going to continue working on it this week. The piece is well underway. Maybe by the end of the week I should have it. So barring any interruptions or more false flag events.
Yeah.
And there, I have a whole slew of work coming out. Just about finished up with the Three Stooges series now, and the third Stooges is going to be revealed as well. And again, it fits the same MO and a photograph, simple little photograph debunks the whole story. One photograph, because it has an element within the photograph that could not have occurred on the date that the alleged photograph was taken.
Oh, yeah, an anachronism, is it called, where they have something from a different historic period? Yeah.
Yeah, it would be like a wristwatch in a Shakespeare play.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, these anomalies that show up. I mean, it was very clever to put Bush with Babe Ruth, because every American kind of know Babe Ruth, how to establish his authenticity, pair him with someone who people knew was authentic, Babe Ruth,
Mm-hmm. And Ruth would have died, let's say, within 3 months or so of this alleged event.
Oh, uh-huh.
He died in August of 1948. Well, Bush was on trial. I should say Scherf was on trial during that time. So he couldn't have been at Yale.
Yeah.
He couldn't have been at Yale. And this, he was part of, I didn't mention this, I mentioned it on Drew Rain's show the other day. He was part of what was called Panzer 150, or Panzer 150, the tank division that Skorzeny put together to carry out this mission.
Wow.
And so the guy was, and now everybody's going to say, well, he was in the Navy. Well, that Navy incident where he ejected from his plane after having set it on fire, and leading his two co-pilots, or his co-pilot and navigator, or navigator and gunner, to their deaths, was also a planned event. When he landed, there was a raft waiting for him, took him to a German U-boat. The U-boat towed the airplane to a cargo ship, and it was taken to Germany.
Yeah.
that was the perfect time for him to make his transition to begin this operation with Scorzani. And by all indications, I have another sheriff that I found in New Zealand. And that would have been the one that eventually called himself Prescott Bush, Prescott Sheldon Bush. As George Scherf, he was arrested for insubordination on a ship, on a New Zealand ship. And this was found in the annual journal of the House of Representatives. The fiscal period ending in March of 1914, and he was fined 2 days in jail or 11 shillings for this event. But there's a record. You see, I tracked him.
Yeah.
And I was tracking him primarily because I felt there was a connection between those two families on my own before I learned of Scorzani's revelations in that regard. And this was the guy that Hitler assigned to infiltrate the work of Nikola Tesla. And he would have been the perfect go-between for the Union Banking Corporation and the Rockefeller Enterprises. He was also working for Frank Rockefeller's Union Sulphur and was working with a German chemist by the name of Hermann Frosch, who was the front man for that company, the president of that company. And also working for John D. Rockefeller Standard Oil, using certain extraction methods that he had developed. So all of these families tied together. It's the same group of people, you see.
And so interlinked through all their corporations and banks and such.
Yes, George Herbert Walker set that up so that they could get the Brown Brothers Harriman and Kuhn and Loeb. And Union Banking Corporation to work together. And the connections are really something. Now, do these schools keep good records? Well, the Phillips Exeter Academy in Vermont claimed that James Forrestal, who was the first Secretary of Defense, who was murdered, by the way, spoke for the commencement in 1945 at their school. And his son Michael graduated that year. Yet if you read the Wikipedia and the Ask.com articles about Michael Forrestal, who, by the way, was an associate or an aide to Averill Harriman in Moscow. Okay? See, these connections are pretty heavy. They say that he graduated from the school in 1946. Why would the school say that he graduated the year that his father gave the commencement speech? You see? So they can't get their story straight.
Yeah.
Okay. But I can assure you Bush wasn't at Yale. And, of course, is anyone from Skull and Bones going to come out and say, boy, you got it right, you guessed it. Well, we got caught that time.
Yeah, and some of them may not have been there either, so
yes.
Have similar backgrounds.
Yes, okay. And is it any different from Eisenhower? I think you may have read my Eisenhower research. Same thing.
Yeah.
In fact, he was supervising all of this stuff as the Supreme Allied Commander of NATO during that time period. And there was also a massive slaughter of German soldiers, too, that occurred. But these guys weren't just charged with the murder. They were charged with torture and all kinds of other acts, starvation and, you know. So is it any wonder? And you could say, well, it's just a coincidence that this guy's, you know, got all these people being murdered around the world. These are warmongers. Like you said, they're psychopaths. They're demonic. They're not even human, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, there's something very strange in them. It's beyond me. I've never met people so pathological in the work I did in prisons like the guys in there were more understandable. These people are a breed apart, and yes. I haven't had experience in kind of dealing with the psychology of such types.
Yes. Well, Christopher, we're out of time. You wanted to hear this, so I shared it with you, and I will keep you posted as to the completion of the article. There's a lot of analysis I'm doing on the photos.
It's very interesting, and it's also showing the modus operandi. You know, after a while, like now, it's like I know, like the media is such a fraud now, so I can watch a TV and I can see what they're doing when they're doing it. You know, once you learn how to detect composites and photographs, and then you start going back and looking at things, it's an interesting process. Thanks for sharing your research, Don, and I look forward to reading your articles.
Okay, well, I appreciate you being on the show and hearing all of this. And yes, you're right. You watch the mainstream media, and you can see exactly what they're doing. When you read the list of who's on the Council on Foreign Relations, and then they're heading the major news program in the evening, primetime evening hours for CNN, for example, you understand why you hear the lies you hear.
Yeah.
These are the groups that are behind the scenes running the show.
Yeah, and they're using the methods of propaganda and just created. They're using Hollywood methods, but creating, you know, real life drama. But it's all Hollywood. It's staged witnesses, scripted eyewitnesses, computer graphics, all kinds of fraudulent methods. Like, it was so funny with the BP oil slick, and then it turns out that their ongoing videos of the oil gusher was complete fraud. That was so, like, they'll go to that extent,
yes.
They'll go to extent of pretending a moon landing.
Yes.
Nothing is beyond them. We have to keep that in mind.
Yes.
Thanks very much, Don, and continue to listen to your show. Could I just give out my website at zeropoint.ca?
Yes.
Encourage people. I've just put up my article there on the fabled airplanes, looking at the media coverage of 9/11. It's up on my site, and I have that up there. And I have another proposal, which is my trying to push this idea of the worldwide arrest of the elites for their crimes against humanity. I think we got to, the more people on this planet see the criminality of these elites through history, and we have to kind of, we have a common purpose. We need to take our countries back and expose these people.
Yes, yes.
And you're absolutely in the forefront of doing that, Don, so it's an honor to be on your show, and thanks very much. And I think I'm back with you on the 26th of this month.
Yes, I was going to make a note of that. And are we going to try to get Calvin Keats on too?
I'll make an effort to get Calvin that evening.
Okay, very good. And I have to drop him a line. I have been very, very busy. So, I appreciate you sending me his information, and I will make a strong attempt. an intentional attempt at making contact with him.
I'll take the initiative too, because you do so much, Don. I can try to set it up, and I'll let you know once it's confirmed.
Okay. All right. Very good. So you'll be with us on the 26th. Again, the website is zeropoint.ca. The radio show is Zero Point, heard every other Saturday on bbsradio.com, station 1. Thank you for being on the show, Christopher, and I want to wish you a very happy New Year.
Goodbye.
All right, folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com and tonight's guest, Christopher Holmes, Ph.D. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network for broadcasting Evident Footprints. Over at BBS Radio, I want to thank Don Newsom on the sound, Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when my special guest will be Dr. A. True Ott. He wasn't with us this past Monday, but he'll be with us tomorrow. So looking forward to that. You out there in the listening audience, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.